A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. In Babylon, there lived a man named Joachim, who married a very beautiful and God-fearing woman, Susanna, the daughter of Hilkiah. Her pious parents had trained their daughter according to the law of Moses. Joachim was very rich. He had a garden near his house, and the Jews had recourse to him often because he was the most respected of them all. That year, two elders of the people were appointed judges, of whom the Lord said, "Wickedness has come out of Babylon," from the elders who were to govern the people as judges. These men, to whom all brought their cases, frequented the house of Joachim. When the people left at noon, Susanna used to enter her husband's garden for a walk. When the old men saw her enter every day for her walk, they began to lust for her. They suppressed their consciences. They would not allow their eyes to look to heaven and did not keep in mind just judgments. One day, while they were waiting for the right moment, she entered the garden as usual with two maids only. She decided to bathe, for the weather was warm. Nobody else was there except the two elders who had hidden themselves and were watching her. "Bring me oil and soap," she said to the maids, "and shut the garden doors while I bathe." As soon as the maids had left, the two old men got up and hurried to her. "Look," they said, "the garden doors are shut, so no one can see us. Give in to our desire and lie with us. If you refuse, we will testify against you that you dismissed your maid because a young man was here with you." "I am completely trapped," Susanna groaned. "If I yield, it will be my death. If I refuse, I cannot escape your power. Yet it is better for me to fall into your power without guilt than to sin before the Lord." Then Susanna shrieked, and the old men also shouted at her, as one of them ran to open the garden doors. When the people of the house heard the cries from the garden, they rushed in by the side gate to see what had happened to her. At the accusations by the old men, the servants felt very much ashamed, for never had any such thing been said about Susanna. When the people came to her husband Joachim the next day, the two wicked elders also came, fully determined to put Susanna to death. Before all the people, they ordered, "Send for Susanna, the daughter of Hilkiah and wife of Joachim." When she was sent for, she came with her parents, children, and all her relatives. All her relatives and the onlookers were weeping. In the midst of the people, the two elders rose up and laid hands on her head. Through tears, she looked up to heaven, for she trusted in the Lord wholeheartedly. The elders made this accusation. "As we were walking in the garden alone, this woman entered with two girls and shut the doors of the garden, dismissing the girls. A young man who was hidden there came and lay with her. When we, in a corner of the garden, saw this crime, we ran toward them. We saw them lying together, but the man we could not hold because he was stronger than we. He opened the doors and ran off. Then we seized her and asked her who the young man was, but she refused to tell us. We testified to this." The assembly believed them, since they were elders and judges of the people, and they condemned her to death. But Susanna cried aloud, "O eternal God, you know what is hidden and are aware of all things before they come to be. You know that they have testified falsely against me. Here I am about to die, though I have done none of the things with which these wicked men have charged me." The Lord heard her prayer. As she was being led to execution, God stirred up the Holy Spirit of a young boy named Daniel, and he cried aloud, "I will have no part in the death of this woman." All the people turned and asked him, "What is this you are saying?" He stood in their midst and continued, "Are you such fools, O children of Israel, to condemn a woman of Israel without examination and without clear evidence? Return to court, for they have testified falsely against her. Then all the people returned in haste. To Daniel, the elder said, "Come, sit with us and inform us, since God has given you the prestige of old age." But he replied, "Separate these two far from each other, that I may examine them." After they were separated one from the other, he called one of them and said, "How you have grown evil with age. Now have your past sins come to term, passing unjust sentences, condemning the innocent and freeing the guilty. Although the Lord says, 'The innocent and the just you shall not put to death.' Now then, if you were a witness, tell me under what tree you saw them together." "Under a mastic tree," he answered. Daniel replied, "Your fine lie has cost you your head, for the angel of God shall receive the sentence from him and split you in two." Putting him to one side, he ordered the other to be brought. Daniel said to him, "Offspring of Canaan, not of Judah, beauty has seduced you, lust has subverted your conscience. This is how you acted with the daughters of Israel, and in their fear they yielded to you. But a daughter of Judah did not tolerate your wickedness. Now then, tell me under what tree you surprised them together." "Under an oak," he said. Daniel replied, "Your fine lie has cost you also your head, for the angel of God waits with a sword to cut you in two, so as to make an end of you both." The whole assembly cried aloud, blessing God who saves those who hope in him. They rose up against the two elders, for by their own words Daniel had convicted them of perjury. According to the law of Moses, they inflicted on them the penalty they had plotted to impose on their neighbor. They put them to death. Thus was innocent blood spared that day. The word of the Lord. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. With your rod and your staff, you give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning, he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Verbum Domini. On Ash Wednesday, about 5 weeks ago, as ashes were placed on our heads, we were either told, "Remember that we are dust, and to dust we shall return," or "Repent and believe in the gospel." Whichever formula was used, these are both a call to repentance, to turn away from sin and turn towards God. We are called to pass from our former ways to newness of life. In our collect prayer that we heard at the beginning of Mass, we heard how, by the grace of God, we are enriched with every blessing. Why is that? So that we can pass from those former ways to a newness of life and be made ready for heaven and stay ready at all times. Over the course of our lives, we are called to grow in holiness. However, the two elders from the book of Daniel, chapter 13, did the exact opposite. And they really were not doing anything new. Susanna is faced with a great injustice and is assailed by the two elders who persist in sin and increase their life of corruption, not developing their conscience, rather turning it off, which only contributes to their end, which, as we heard, they were condemned to the same penalty they plotted to impose on their neighbor and were put to death. We meet these evil judges after they had caused much suffering. Daniel tells them, "This is how you acted with the daughters of Israel, who yielded to you because of your office." However, Susanna would rather face death without guilt rather than sin before the Lord. What Scripture tells us about the wicked elders is, first, they saw Susanna. Then they suppressed their consciences and stopped looking towards God. The reading says they would not allow their eyes to look to heaven and failed to keep just judgments in mind. They were already plotting and planning and had started down the slippery slope of sin. It is then that the wisdom of Daniel and the truth are both made known, and the innocent blood of Susanna was spared. In our gospel acclamation today, we hear how the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked man, but rather in his conversion, that he may live. Jesus wants us to make good choices and gives us opportunities and grace to always turn around. However, the further we go down the wrong road, it seems the faster we travel. Downhill is easy. Uphill is hard. It's true in the physical world and in the spiritual. This is true also for the old men, of whom we are told saw Susanna every day. Perhaps they were once good judges. Who knows? But by this point, they have submitted without hesitation to their temptation and are disobedient to God's will and enter deeper and deeper into a life of sin. And sin always has its effect. There is no such thing as a victimless crime when it comes to sin. Someone is always going to get hurt. As St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, that if one member of the body of Christ suffers, all suffer. One of my first jobs as a child was delivering newspapers. I had a short bike route, and one day I was getting ready to start my route, and I remembered that my 10-speed bike had a flat tire. Instead of fixing it, I decided to take my dad's old brown bike. But I remember how my father had told me, "Don't take the brown bike, son. It has no brakes." However, I knew my route, and I figured if I didn't go too fast, I could coast to a stop, or I could, in Fred Flintstone style, use my Nike high tops like brakes, and I would be fine. So with my canvas bag of papers slung over my back, I mounted the brown bike to share the good news. I was nearing the end of my deliveries at the highest street on my route, and I started slowly coasting down the hill. And just as I was picking up speed, I heard my dad's voice again, "Don't take the brown bike, son. It has no brakes." I applied my sneaker brakes, pressing the bottom of my feet against the sand-covered tar. Not only did I not slow down, I was picking up speed and heading toward a busy road. Faster and faster, I eventually flew into oncoming traffic, ran into a car as it passed in front of me, and I flipped over the trunk and landed chin first on the pavement. The next thing I remember was hearing the ambulance. Well, a number of stitches later, I received what would become a permanent scar and a small reminder of the brown bike and my disobedience. Temptation and sin is like that. You may think you can stop partway down the hill, but you can't. And as I said, someone always gets hurt. In addition to my own injury, the woman who was driving the car I hit never drove again for the rest of her life. Sin always leaves a scar. In the gospel today, we see how the scribes and Pharisees have brought a sinner to Jesus, a woman caught in adultery. And Jesus, who is Lord, is patient with us, not wishing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he starts to write in the very earth that he created. What is it that Jesus wrote in the ground that changed the minds of the New Testament elders? Perhaps it was simply the name Susanna, or some reference to the passage from Daniel that we read this morning, which the scribes and Pharisees would have been very familiar with. Perhaps this is why the elders left first. They would have known how the Lord, through Daniel, spared innocent blood. And Jesus wants to save all blood, innocent and not so innocent, at the expense of his own. Jesus, who never contradicts Moses' teaching, also never directly dismisses the scribes and Pharisees. However, convicted by their own consciences, they leave on their own, and the woman caught in adultery stays. And now the conversation is directly with Jesus, who knows her faults, who knows her sins, and knows ours. Falling into sin, unfortunately, seems to be all too natural for us. However, Jesus offers a supernatural solution, forgiveness of sins, and the imperative to go and sin no more. The remedy 2,000 years ago for sin is the same for us today. It is Jesus Christ. As we continue these final weeks of Lent, may we pray for the grace to continue our uphill battle, to remember that we are indeed dust, and unto dust we shall return, to repent and believe in the gospel, the eternal word, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. God bless you.